Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. Even though no one has ever seen God, if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. Perfection. It's a difficult concept in the life of the church. It's a difficult concept in the Christian faith. Perfection, because, you know, we know we're not perfect, or we should know that we're not perfect. At least I know that I'm not perfect. One of the great preachers of the 19th century, of the 1800s, was a man named Henry Ward Beecher. He was a Congregationalist clergyman in the Northeast. He was considered a prince of the pulpit because he was such a great preacher and orator. He would get up and speak, and people would just swoon at his brilliance and at his turns of phrase. He was a social reformer. He was one of the loudest, most influential preachers against slavery, and known for the pushing of governmental regulations to oppose slavery and the abolition of slavery. His preaching centered on the love of God, on this passage from 1 John most frequently, the love of God and how God is love, and how we are called to live in the love of God and share the love of God with all. He was also known for having a great sense of humor. And so one day he was preaching at a Methodist church in New York City. And in the middle of his sermon, he stopped for a moment and then he said, "You know, I'm a Calvinist, but you Methodist Arminians, and you believe that one day you're going to be perfect. So I ask you Methodists here, is there one of you here who's perfect?" And after a moment in the silent sanctuary, this little old lady stood up towards the back. And Henry said, "Sister, are you perfect?" And she said, "Well, no, but my husband's first wife was." "Yeah, right. Yeah, right." Perfection. What is perfection? How can we be perfect? Well, we can't be. At least, I know I can't be. I know how much I fail to be perfect in all that God wants me to do and to be. I remember how terrified I was at the time of ordination. You know, when they get preachers together, they get candidates for ordained ministry together, they go to something called clergy session or executive session sometimes, and they stand up in front of the bishop, and the bishop asks a whole bunch of questions called the traditional Wesleyan questions. The first question's an easy one: do you have faith in Christ? And the answer is supposed to be, well, yes. That's an easy one. Or should be. The second one gets a lot harder. The bishop asks, "Are you going on to perfection?" And I can remember standing there and I gulped really loudly, but they heard me in the back of the sanctuary, and I said, "Yes." Well, lightning didn't strike. That's good news. Okay. The next question gets even harder, because he's just asked, "Are you going on to perfection?" And the answer is yes. The next question is, "Do you expect to be made perfect in love in this life?" Ooh. In this life. I can buy in the sweet by and by, but in this life? It sounds like the answer ought to be no, but you're supposed to say yes. You're supposed to say yes. But there's an important additive to this question that we often miss. It says perfect in love in this life. And that's where our reading today pulls from 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. I want to pause right there. Do you love? Do you love your family and your friends and your neighbors? Do you love? Raise your hand if you love. Uh-huh. Guess what? You are born of God. You are a child of God, a beautiful child of God. You know God because you love. Notice the next sentence. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. So in those moments when we're not loving, in those moments when our words and our actions are not flowing from love, we are not knowing and expressing God to others. When we are doing harm, we are not living in the love of God. We're not knowing God. But John continues, beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. Since no one has ever seen God, if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. Wow. So often it seems like Christians these days are better known for their hate, their rejection of others, their exclusion of others, their opposition to different kinds of people and different ways of thinking and being and believing and living. Rarely are we known for our love in this world anymore, and that's sad. In the 1960s, there was a spiritual song. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. It's a song that I grew up with. I believed it and I was taught it. And the church taught me to live by it and love by it. But sadly, I also know from observation and, yes, personal experience that it's not always true. They don't always know that we're Christians by our love, because sadly, so often, they know we are Christians by our hate. Love is often absent from our words and our deeds. Love is often absent by what we say and how we live towards others. One of the largest challenges to church growth, to, as we talked about last week, finding the other sheep that are not yet part of the flock, is this very issue. People in our society today don't want to go to church because we're not known for our love, but rather by our hate. And studies show that once they do visit us, they usually make their decisions about coming back, about paying a second visit, within just 10 minutes of entering the building. In other words, before, long before Ann ever plays a note, before we ever sing a hymn, before a prayer is ever offered, before a scripture is ever read, before a sermon is ever preached, before an anthem is ever sung, before communion is ever celebrated, so often people have decided to stay or not stay, to come back or not. And that's on top of it taking a great deal of trust and hope and faith and openness to even come through the doors of the church. It takes a lot to gain trust and willingness just to come through those doors. And thank you to those of you who are here today for the first time or a second time who have taken the risk to come through the doors and experience worship with us here at Grace. Let us be a means of grace for you, a means of knowing the love of God for you. We appreciate you so much. It takes a lot of love, God's love, in you already to even come in. And it takes a lot of love, God's love, to be open to the needs, to the hopes and the dreams of others. The good news is that apart from being receptive, it's not us who makes us loving. It's God. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. Even though no one has ever seen God, if we love one another, God lives in us. And God's love is perfected in us. God's love is perfected in us. The question clergy are asked is if we expect to be made perfect in love. Not that we make ourselves perfect, but that we are acted upon and made perfect, if only for a fleeting instant, made perfect in love. That's critical. What John says in his letter is that our profession of faith in Christ begins with an abiding of God's love within us. And that abiding of God transforms us. It brings God's love into our very being. It brings love into our words and our actions. It casts out fear of the other, fear of the different, fear of the unknown, and brings God's love to fruition in us. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they can see cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. That commandment is from Christ himself. It's at the very core of our faith. We've talked about it before. We're going to talk about it again. They asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" And he said, from the core of the Hebrew faith, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." That's the second is like it. These two commandments fulfill all the law and the prophets. These two commandments bring God's perfect love into our lives. When it happens, and it does, we can love. When we love as Christ loved, when we have Christ's love within us, making us perfect, we know the perfect love of God for us and for others. Which brings us back to what it means to be perfect. The word perfect, the Greek word that's translated from, means to be complete, to be mature, to be whole, to be done. To be perfect in love doesn't mean that we are without blemish, or without fault, or error. It means that we are complete with God's love. We have been completed by God's love. We are at one with God. in God's love. We are whole, made whole, together with God and God's love for us and for others. To be perfect in love, to be made perfect in love, is to have the love of God so flowing through us that our own thoughts of separation and division don't even crowd themselves into our minds in those moments, but rather the love of God reigns within us. It's the state that is spoken of in that spiritual song from the 60s that I mentioned just a couple of minutes ago. You know that song. Sing it with me. We are one in the Spirit.
We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Amen. Yes, they'll know. And yes, even in a season of disaffiliation and departure, our unity in God's love will one day be restored. And yes, they will know and will know that we are Christians, followers of Christ by our love. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people
dwell in your